again for coming. We're studying again in Joshua chapter 18. Just to, again, thank you for praying for us, particularly our time in India. The little bookmark that is available, if you'd like to just remember what you prayed for, we'll encourage you to pray for us again. It was instructive for us to have about 9 days in Bangalore. And Bangalore is the highlands of India, central part of India. And they had invited us to come a year before. They had contacted the assemblies. There are 40 assemblies in Bangalore. And some of them are with different languages, but they're all in the in and around the Bangalore area. And it was interesting because they were planning to have these special series of meetings at the Clarence High School. The Clarence High School is a ministry begun almost 100 years ago, and it's called a high school, but it's kindergarten through high school with about 1,200 students. And it has an auditorium that seats about 900. And we've had, I think, four or five times, we've had a week of meetings in the high school, and the opportunities are just amazing. But in this particular occasion, they wanted to have a greater participation. They invited representatives from all of the assemblies there to come together and to have a planning meeting and to set up a committee for these meetings, to establish prayer, to meet regularly for interceding for the city and for the churches. And it was rather interesting because some of the assemblies are, what word do you use? Conservative, is that the word? Maybe narrow, and felt that a committee made up of brothers and sisters from various assemblies was a non-spiritual entity. And so they said, no, we're not going to be a part of it. And so they began having prayer meetings beginning in December, actually, for these meetings. And in the end, all of the assemblies were represented. All 40 of the assemblies came, and all of them announced it in their meetings. And even though they didn't be a part of the committee, those who were a part of planning this committee were just thrilled, just really pleased that the Lord had answered prayer and brought many, many people together. We started in the morning with a Bible study from 7 to 8, and then people went to work. And during the day, we usually had a conference. Jenny had a ladies' conference, and I spoke to the ladies as well, 200 or 300 ladies. We had a youth conference. We had a leadership conference during the day, and then in the evening from about 6:15 until 8 o'clock. And the last meeting on a Sunday evening, all of the assemblies were represented, about 850 were in attendance. And so this was a source of great blessing. We've gotten a number of encouraging letters thanking the Lord and thanking us for coming. So if you prayed for those meetings, that's what this little the bookmark is about. They had some banners they put around the town, encouraging people to come. And somebody said, well, how come it says here, come and hear a series of talk by an eminent Bible speaker? Why don't you put preacher? And they said, well, the word speaker to the Indian people has a better connotation than preacher. He said, we got plenty of preachers, but we don't have many Bible speakers. So if it you say, what does it mean, an eminent Bible? I don't know what the word eminent means. But they decided to put a Bible speaker. One time we were there, they had these big banners, internationally renowned evangelist, and had my name. So I told them that wasn't the way to do it, but it just was a real blessing to be there. In the mornings, the whole hour was they just sang one song, and we had an hour of teaching. And it was amazing, the comments, and people went off to work, came back in the evening. The evening was translated into Canada. It says that on the bottom, and Canada is the language of Karnataka, which is the state or the province in the middle of India, where is, I don't know, did I pronounce that right? But Canada was the language. Gave my translator a run for his money. But it was all in a sense of appreciation to the Lord for the help the Lord gave, and we appreciate your praying for those meetings and God answering prayer in a wonderful way. Joshua chapter 18, several people of me said to me this morning and also again this evening that they didn't see that stuff that I was bringing out this morning, that they had read through it and didn't get as much out of it as I got out of it. Well, that's an accusation I receive regularly, and consider it a comment of pleasure instead of criticism. So we're going to read these verses again, and you have an opportunity this evening to find something in these verses that have a parallel in the New Testament, because most of our studies have been doing that. We have been looking at what we find in Joshua and see if we find a parallel in the New Testament. So I suggest that you, as we read through it, that you see if you find some parallels that I will find and encourage you in your study. Joshua chapter 18, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh. The word means rest. And we noted this morning a number of times where Shiloh is used, from Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10 all the way through to the New Testament. And set up the tabernacle of the congregation, or the tent of meeting, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Give out from among you the three men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it, the first of five times that you have that word, and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me. And they shall divide it into seven parts, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coast. The house of Judah shall abide in their coast in the south, and the house of Joseph shall abide in their coasts on the north. Ye shall therefore describe the land unto the seven parts, and bring the description hither to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond Jordan on the east, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave them. And men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them that they went to describe the land, saying, go and walk through the land and describe it, and come again to me, that I may cast lots before you, before the Lord, in Shiloh. And the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities into seven parts in a book, and came again to Joshua, to the host of Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land into the children of Israel according to their divisions. And the lot of the tribe of Benjamin came up according to their families. And the coast of their lot came forth. The coast of their lot came forth between the children of Judah and the children of Joseph. You notice it says came forth. That is a result of the casting of lots. And the casting of lots was probably by Phinehas the priest, according to the verses that are described in the end of chapter 19. The high priest, who would have been Phinehas, had a breastplate with 12 stones on it, but it was an envelope. And in the envelope were two stones, a white stone and a black stone. And the priest would present a question before the Lord, and then put his hand into the envelope and bring out one of the stones, a black or a white stone. And that was the casting of lots. That was the determination by which God divided the land. And so when we speak of Phinehas the priest, as you have in verse, what is it? Verse, I can't remember what verse it is. It'll come to me. But you have Phinehas the priest doing this with Joshua overseeing it. But I want to just read again the beginning of these, because you have in chapter 19, you have the second lot came forth to Simeon, even of the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families. And then verse 10, the third lot came up for the children of Zebulun, according to their families. Verse 17, the fourth lot came out to Issachar, for the children of Issachar, according to their families. Verse 24, and the fifth lot came out of the tribe of the children of Asher, according to their families. Verse 32, the sixth lot came out to the children of Naphtali, for unto the children of Naphtali, according to their families. Verse 40, the seventh lot came out for the tribe of the children of Dan, according to their families. Verse 49, and they had made an end of, when they had made an end of dividing the land for inheritance by their coast, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua the son of Nun among them, according to the word of the Lord. They gave him the city which he asked, even Timnath-Sefer in Mount Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt therein. These are the inheritance which Eleazar the priest, sorry, it wasn't Phinehas, it was Eleazar, he was the son of Aaron, and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, divided for an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So they made an end of dividing the country. So did you see something there of the New Testament that answers as a type or a picture? Let's pray and we'll see what it says. Father, we're thankful to you for your superintendence in the affairs of Israel. We stand on this side of that story and wonder how the lot was cast. But we know that no matter how it was cast, you superintended that choice, and that you designed that each of the tribes of Israel should have the land which was prophesied by Jacob way back in Genesis 49. Father, we stand in awe and amazement that you who created the earth and the stars and put the planets in their position and uphold them through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ would be interested enough to be involved in the casting of lots on this occasion in Joshua. We know that you superintend our lives as well. Though we do not need guidance by lot, we thank you that all things work together for good to those who are called according to your purpose because of love. We thank you that you superintend our lives and you guide us with your eye. You guide us through your word. You guide us through godly men and godly women. And so we thank you that you are the same God, the same yesterday, today and forever. And as you worked with Joshua and Eleazar the priest, so you have, through our Lord Jesus Christ, you have given us guidance and direction by your Holy Spirit. We come this evening to hear your voice again, to listen to what you have to say, and to help us understand your desire to be involved in our lives day by day. Thank you for this story in these two chapters and for reminding us of your greatness and your goodness to Israel and to us who are by faith the children of Abraham. We give you our thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We looked at Shiloh this morning and suggested to you that that is one of the names that is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a name. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, that the government that was going to be given to the nation of Israel would come through Judah until Shiloh come. And Shiloh is one of the six names that are given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is fulfilled, or will be fulfilled, when the Lord Jesus sets up his kingdom. And in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5, it says, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, or he shall dwell among them. And that is when the prophecy of Genesis chapter 49 will be fulfilled. So So we looked at Shiloh, a place of meeting, a place of rest, a place of provision, and we realized again that God designed that Shiloh in the middle of the land of Canaan would be His dwelling place. There the tabernacle was established, the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire rested over the mercy seat between the cherubim above the tabernacle, and it is a glorious picture to us of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there are several other things in these chapters that I would like us to look at. First of all, the seven tribes without an inheritance. That's very instructive to us. Seven tribes without an inheritance. God had said to Abraham 480 years before, every place the sole of your foot lands, it belongs to you and to your seed after you. He said it to Jacob. He said, through you and your seed after you, this is your land. He said it to Moses. He said it to Joshua. At the beginning of Joshua, every place the sole of your foot lands, it belongs to you. And so the 2.5 tribes on the other side of the Jordan, the 2.5 tribes on the west side of the Jordan had found their inheritance. But here we are at chapter 18 of the book of Joshua, after approximately 7 years, and there are seven nations without it, without enjoying their inheritance. And as we look at the New Testament, and we look at the church today, is it possible for us to say that the same circumstance exists in the church? That if we think of those 10, for those 12 tribes, and if we say that in the church we have a similar designation, though we don't have tribes, that there are actually 2.5 tribes of the church. I suppose if we said 10, it would be easier percentage-wise because I didn't do good in math. But if we say that percentage, that would be 2.5 of 12, were happy to live outside the land and live on the other side of Jordan, maybe there is that kind of percentage in the church today. And if the seven tribes represent another percentage, that there is that percentage of the church, which would represent 7% of 12 tribes, or 7 tribes of 12, that there is that kind of percentage, that's more than 50%, who are happy just to sit on the land without going forward and possessing. They're not standing on the promises, as someone said. They're sitting on the premises. They're happy to just be in the land. And they have never... all of this land was in front of them. They were in Shiloh. They could look north. They could look west to the Mediterranean. They could look south to Beersheba. They could look east to the Jordan River. And they were content. And Joshua has to speak to them very strongly. You have the land in front of you. And here you are in chapter 18. And you're not possessing your possessions. Do we have the same thing in the New Testament? We do. In fact, we have it 3 times that I can think of. Do you remember the Lord Jesus with the disciples in the upper room? And He said to them, I have said many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Here were the disciples. They had walked with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. They had seen Him. They'd known Him. They had seen His miracles. But they did not perceive the glory of His death, the blessing of His resurrection, and all that would come to them. They were more concerned about what they could see and hear than all that they could have learned about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus chastens them. Have I been so long time with you, and yet you don't know me? That's exactly what Joshua is saying. Joshua is saying, you have all of this land, and you're not willing to go and dig it out and find it and destroy the enemies and take that land and make it yours. The Lord Jesus said basically the same thing that Joshua said. And Joshua is a picture to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said the same thing. He said to the Corinthians, I want to speak to you as unto men, as mature, but you are babes, you are carnal. I can't give you the truth I want to give you. And Paul complained to the Corinthians that the glorious truths of the blessings of Christ, they couldn't handle. The same thing is true in Joshua. Because this land represents the blessings that are given to us in Christ. The mountains of His strength, the valleys of His humility, the waters of His refreshment, the glory of the rain, the latter rain, all of these things are reminders to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did the author of Hebrews say in chapter 5? When for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you the first principles of the doctrines of Christ. And chapter 6 says, lay aside these things of the beginnings, the ABCs, and let us go on unto maturity. It's exactly the same thing. We have Joshua complaining because the children of Israel were not going to possess their possessions. And Hebrews and Corinthians and the Lord Jesus complains to those that listen to Him because they weren't partaking and enjoying all the blessings that God has for them. We have the same situation today. How many people have been brought out of Egypt through salvation? They have been forgiven. They have been delivered. And they are now living in the land. They have come across the Jordan River. But they've sat down and comfortably seated without engaging the enemy, without conflict that is necessary in order to gain the land that belongs to them. And so Joshua challenges them, inert. You're lazy, is basically what he's saying. Inept. You have lost your calling. You have lost your challenge. You don't realize that the land north and south and east and west is yours. There are many people in the Christian church today who are comfortable sitting in their church once a week and think that that's the normal Christian life. It's great to gather, isn't it? But it is an endeavor through energy and through commitment, day after day, to read and study and memorize and meditate, appreciate and appropriate that which is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Joshua challenges them. He complains about their condition. You're in the land. You see it. You're on the land. You're standing on it or sitting in it, but you're without any land. Isn't that right? They're in the land, they see the land, but they don't have any possessions. They have settled comfortably with the ABCs of the gospel. But the great truths, the great concepts that are given to us regarding the person and work of Jesus Christ, unwilling to invest the energy and the discipline that's necessary in order to appreciate and enjoy the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so, you have the seven tribes without an inheritance in verse 2 and verse 3. And then you have in verses 4 through 10, you have the surveyors of the land. And this is an amazing thing also, I think, that you have, again, in the New Testament. Who are these 21 men, three from each tribe, who make it up and down the land and they describe it, and they describe it, and they describe it, and they describe it? I think it's five or six times we have the word describe in here. What were they doing? They were going north, they were going south and east and west, and they were surveying the land, and they came back, and they described it. There was a travel to the balance of the land. Now, if we go back again and review, the land is a picture to us of all the blessings that we have in Christ. When we read of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in these New Testament books, what have these authors done for us? They've described the land, haven't they? They have described the greatness of Christ, the goodness of Christ, the glory of Christ. They talked about our salvation. They talked about our sanctification. And we look at these 21 men moving back and forth and up and down, and they come and they come back, and what do they do with it? They write it in a book. They do what? They write it in a book. That could be simple, isn't it? What's that book you have on your lap? It's a book that describes the land. It's a book that describes the glories of Christ and the grace of Christ, the goodness of God. This is the book. That's what this is. It is a book written by those who have been through the land. And I dare say that in the course of your Christian life, as you have sat here or elsewhere, there are people that have been in the land, that have walked up and down in the land, that have stood in the mountains and been amazed at the strength of God, the power of God. And they have come back and said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Surely they've come to us as teachers and preachers, and they have said to us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Surely they have repeated the comment by the Lord Jesus, lo, I am with you always. All power is given unto me in heaven. That's just strength. And these men who have taught us, and may I include the ladies, because they also teach the Word of God, and they have been in the land, and they have gone up and down, and they have described to us the land. Haven't they? You were an amen saying church, you would say amen. Do you see the picture? They went up and down. Their travel was to the balance of the land. They have gone places we haven't gone. They have gone deeper into the Word of God than we have gone. And we listen to them. And surely what they have to say should excite us and say, look, let me tell you about the Mount Hermon. Think of the snow on that mount and the rivers come flowing down. The freshness, the beauty. Have you not had people come to you and say that? And surely as they have described the land to you, they have said, man, this is great. We can't stay in Shiloh. Let's go. Let's put our foot here and put our foot there. Let's believe God for this and believe God for that. And let's grow and develop and mature. Let's learn something new today. And let's claim it. It's our land. It was given to us by God. It is an inheritance that is ours. That's what's happening in this chapter. And it was written in a book. Moses was to write a book. We look at that book. We have their travel. We have their trust. They laid out in order. And as we read through chapter 18 and chapter 19, it's almost impossible today to find out where those lines are because that land has been overrun with war many, many times. But the details, the detailed description of those pieces of ground are so significant to us. There are truths that God has revealed to you that He hasn't revealed to me. There are portions of God's greatness and goodness and glory and grace that He has revealed to you that He hasn't revealed to me. We don't all have exactly the same truth. We don't all have exactly the same land. And so what you have learned and what you have grown in and truths that God has given to you, I need to hear about them. I need to learn from you. And as we sit and we share and we fellowship and we teach each other and exchange these truths, we're doing what's happening here. God wants that to happen. And there are times when we need to hear the warning, the challenge of Joshua that is repeated for us by the Lord Jesus. And by Paul, and by the author of Hebrews. Don't you want to grow? Don't you want to learn new ideas and thoughts about the person of Christ? Don't you want to unfold, have Him unfold for you the beauties and blessings of your salvation? Don't you want to do it? That's what Joshua is saying. And he's saying, don't just sit here. Strike out into the land, to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. Study to make yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them that you're profiting. Isn't that what it's saying? It's what it's saying to me. A book was written. Moses wrote a book. A book which we consider now to be the Pentateuch. What would you do without the Pentateuch? You have the book that was added to by Joshua. Joshua was supposed to add to this book. Samuel added to the book. Malachi says a book of remembrance was written for those that thought on his name. Have you got a book of remembrance? That's what this is. It's a book of remembrance. It reminds us of all that God is and all that the Lord Jesus Christ is. And we read it with enthusiasm, with interest, with the desire to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened when our country was being settled? You could go out and you could stake out a piece of property out in the West. And you could stake that out and put your name there. And as long as you brought that land under cultivation, you could extend the borders. You could make it bigger. And there were men that went there and got huge farms. That's exactly what God has given to us. And that's exactly what Joshua is challenging the people of Israel to do. Get up. Go and stake out a piece of land. Make it yours. Cultivate it. Make it grow. And then expand your borders and make it larger. The surveyors of the inheritance, their travel, surely there are those that have come to us and taught us, told us about their travel. I'm not talking about missionary travel. I'm not talking about tourist travel. I'm talking about travels up and down the Word of God and have shared with us the glorious truths, the blessings that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their trust, to lay out in order an inheritance. That's their job. And it is their task, as Paul does, as Peter does, as James and Jude and the author of Hebrews. Their task was to lay out our inheritance for us. What is our inheritance? Our inheritance is Christ, says Paul. Our inheritance is Christ, and all that's found in Christ. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete. You enjoy and appropriate your inheritance in Him. And so, there is their tale, a book, laid up before the Lord. It is for us the Word of God. And then in verses 18, chapter 18, verse 11, through 19, verse 51, you have the division of the land. The lot came up. It sounds like luck, doesn't it? Except that it was under the direction of Eleazar the priest. It was under the guidance of Joshua, the son of Nun. And it was before the Lord at the door of the tent of the tabernacle of meeting. What a wonderful place to meet the Lord. Three times a year, the children of Israel were to come to Shiloh. Three times a year, they would come with their sacrifice for their feasts and for their fasts. And there in Shiloh, they would meet the Lord. And the Lord would come and would meet them and give them a reminder of His blessing upon them and instruct them. And so the land was divided. And the first lot came up to Benjamin. You say, well, I didn't take time to read it. Well, I did. And if you read through Benjamin, you say, well, what is there in Benjamin? There is Bethel. Do you know what Bethel reminds us of? Bethel is the place where Abraham built an altar. That's the place where Jacob wrestled with the Lord. You know, if you just took Bethel by itself, amazing things happened in Bethel. And then you have Jerusalem. What happened in Jerusalem? We read about it tonight at the Lord's Supper. What happened in Jerusalem? It's where the Lord Jesus died. It's where He was buried. It's where He was raised again. It's in the tribe of Benjamin. It's in that area of the land which was given to them. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 12, it was promised to them by Moses. It's part of the blessings that are ours. You can't go far in your Christian life without going to Jerusalem. the children of Benjamin knew what it was to live in a land where there was Bethel, where there's Kirjath-Jearim. If you read through your Old Testament, you'll find that, and you'll find Mizpah. You remember Mizpah? Go back and read the stories that take place there, and you will find again. And then Simeon. It says in Genesis chapter 49 that God will separate Simeon in Israel. Do you know where Simeon's land is? It's in the middle of Judah. In exact fulfillment of what Jacob said in Genesis chapter 49, it said, I will scatter Simeon and Levi in Israel. Simeon was in the south, and Levi was scattered because there was no inheritance for them. All the priestly cities belonged to the Levites, and they were scattered for their sin. And Simeon eventually was absorbed by Judah, and they had no possession at all. In exact fulfillment. And then you have Zebulun. Did you read through Zebulun and find out what happened in Zebulun's land? You know what's there? Bethlehem. How can you not stop at Bethlehem? You can't go through the book of Ruth without understanding Bethlehem. You can't read the story of David without knowing that David won water from Bethlehem. What a beautiful story. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth, who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. It's part of that which belongs to Zebulun. Oh, but Zebulun also is a place of giants. Have you met some giants in your life? You're in Zebulun. It's exactly the same. Asher. Do you know what Asher says? What Jacob says regarding Asher? It says his foot will be dipped in oil. Do you know that just a few months ago they found oil between Tyre and Sidon in Israel? One of the largest segments of oil anywhere in the Middle East. And it's in Asher, the land that belongs to Asher between Tyre and Sidon. Way back to Genesis. And here we have it again in chapter 19, verses 24 to 31. Naphtali. Where is Naphtali? Where is your land, Naphtali? It's in Kinnereth. What is Kinnereth? That's where the Lord Jesus is. It's Gennesaret. It's the Sea of Galilee. You can't go far in the New Testament without reading of the Sea of Galilee. That's the land that belongs to Naphtali. And then Dan. Dan. The story of Dan way up in the north. But God only gave him a little piece of land. And it says of Dan, that's not enough. We're going to go get more. And so they went north. And went north and they captured and destroyed the enemy. And they partook of a land that wasn't allotted to them. What an amazing story, Dan. And Dan, we find, stretching his inheritance, expanding his horizons, making the land greater than that which had given to him. Have you done it? I don't know where you are in these seven tribes. Maybe you're the sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, or Judah. But each one of us must find our place in this. And then lastly, what about verse 49 through 51 of chapter 19? Is there anything in there? It says to us in verse 49, and when they had made an end of dividing the land, the inheritance by their coasts, the children of Israel gave an inheritance to Joshua, the son of Nun. What's the next two words? Among them. You know what's translated in the New American Standard? In their midst. They gave to Joshua an inheritance in their midst. Who is Joshua a picture of? The Lord Jesus Christ. Where do we find him? As a boy of 12, where was he? In the temple, in the midst of the doctors. Where do we find him? Through the Gospels. We find him again and again. In the midst. We find him on the cross. And it says, on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And the Lord Jesus says to us in Matthew chapter 18, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Here we have in Joshua chapter 19, the very description of where the Lord Jesus Christ was and is. They gave to Joshua an inheritance in their midst. God has done exactly the same thing. He has put the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. So, the song that we sing, number 191, I think it is in our hymn book, with Jesus in our midst, we gather round the board. Though many, we are one, one body in the Lord. With Jesus in the midst. Where is He? You look through the New Gospels and you'll find again, He's in the midst. He's in the midst. He's in the midst. He's in the midst. He's in the middle. And Joshua was given a piece of land, an inheritance by God through the nation of Israel. That's where He belongs in our life. That's where He belongs in our assembly, in our church. It's where He belongs in our community. And for Israel, we have this beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ standing in the midst. In Revelation, you have Him among the seven churches, and in the midst of the candlesticks stood one. It's right here in Joshua chapter 19. They gave Him an inheritance in their midst. We are to do the same thing. Every aspect of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was lived within the confines of the inheritance that was given to the 12 tribes of Israel. There isn't any aspect of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that isn't recorded for us in those chapters as He moved north and south and east and west, the very land that Joshua gave by lot at Shiloh before the tabernacle as an inheritance to the children of Israel. Do you see it? Maybe I should say, do you see it now? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful to You again that You exalt the Lord Jesus Christ for us. We think of the children of Israel as they unwittingly gave to Joshua, the son of Nun, a piece of land in the middle of that piece of property, that country. We see the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst so many times. We see Him raised from the grave, meeting the disciples, the terrified disciples in the upper room. And it says, Jesus came and stood in their midst. Thank You again for giving us the Lord Jesus Christ to be in our midst, to be in us as we gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two or three or a dozen or 50, You have promised that He will be there. And we thank You again for opening to us and helping us understand the glories and the blessings of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ who came into this world in the land of Benjamin, died in the land of Judah, was raised again and will come again on Mount Zion to establish His kingdom, and He will tabernacle with men. Father, we thank You that the more we gaze at Your word, the more we study, the more we see of the beauties and glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for the hunger that You've given us, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for meeting with us, for ministering to us as You said You would do through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.